Hi, this is Bimi Shavery, and I am here with your daily devotion. We are on day 26. I am so excited. I'm so grateful. I am so overwhelmed with all of the feedback. Thank you guys so much for your love. Thank you for your support. Thank you for allowing me to be used as a vessel in your life. If you are new here, welcome, welcome, welcome. I don't know how you heard about me. I'm so glad that you have. I hope that on this podcast, you find a sacred space. I hope that whatever episode you are drawn to brings you a sense of clarity, understanding, and a deeper connection with yourself. For those of you who have been a part of the journey, you have been a longtime subscriber, follower, and a part of the tribe for weeks, months, years even. Thank you guys so very much for your continued support. I am so grateful for your dedication, discipline, and the partnership, because this is a partnership, right? Allowing God to use me and also you being on the receiving end of that. I thank you guys so very much for all of your dedication and discipline throughout this particular journey we have been on. So today, I hope you guys have your coffee, your tea, your water, your juice, whatever it is that you need, because there will be some moments of shout again. There'll be some moments where you like probably fussing at yourself, shaking your head, want to throw something maybe, you know, I don't know, laughing out loud, whatever. And you have, you know, your voice a little scratchy. I want you to be nicely, you know, lubricated. Okay. So on today's episode, we will be furthering through our daily devotion in the essence of Job. I feel like his story is just so deeply rich with so many different lessons and so many different opportunities for us to see ourselves in the realities of what it is that we are in life, where it is that we are right now, what it is that we have had to muster up the courage to go after, and the patiently waiting game, you know, the patiently waiting game while we're in the midst of what we deem to be affliction. And so what I want to remind ourselves of is that there is a process and an order for everything. The beautiful part about it is we know we're tied to the vine. We know that there is definitely power in that. The difficult part is when we are feeling like we are overwhelmed and overcome by the afflictions we face, keeping the faith, staying obedient, and understanding that it is all happening for our good, building resilience, but also because God has to get the glory, right? He's not just doing this so that we can live in lavish houses or have beautiful, wealthy children or have successful marriages. You don't get a successful marriage without growing through things. You do not get healthy, happy children without growing through some traumatic experiences with them. You could try to feed them all the fluff that you want. You could try to give them all of the things that you didn't have growing up. But if you do not instill in them that life is not always white picket fences and dogs and having everything that you want and having the world at your fingertips, and just because you're good looking, you get what you want, they're going to have some hard truths to follow. And so there is this thin line of having to wait out the process so that we can build up our diligence and our discipline, but also so God can get the glory of the struggle and the pain and the traumatic experience of it, because there is a lesson in it for everything. And sometimes God isn't using you or doing, allowing these things to happen to you or happening for you so that you can suffer. Sometimes it's to show just how powerful your faith is and to show just how you are that link that they need to remain tied to get into the spaces that you are occupying. You know, being having a close relationship with God is just a very special thing, because you see things differently. You pray differently. You fast differently. You have this fervor about yourself differently. And unless you are tied to that, people won't really understand or grasp that, which will undoubtedly cause even more affliction, right? And it could cause tribulation and all kind of things within the relationship dynamics, because now you're at odds with yourself in them. So we're going to stick with Job today, because there are so many lessons in this. And one part that I really want to focus on is, first of all, before I get into Job, sorry, I'm drinking my coffee, y'all. Well, no. Yeah, before I get into Job, I'm going to read from John 13. And in John 13 and where is this? And five. It's very interesting to me how graceful Jesus is in this time, because he is preparing for his ultimate physical transition. He already knows it's happening. He already knows it's coming. He already knows he's going to be betrayed. You know, he already understands this. Now, he doesn't disclose the fullness of this because it isn't clear. So at this point, what God or what Jesus is discussing is knowing that something is about to happen. Okay. Something is about to happen, but he is sent on a mission by his father. Okay. So he is sitting amongst the ones who are supposed to be his compadres, right? They are his friends. They are his people. Okay. But amongst his people, he is very much aware that not all of the people that should be his people are his people. And he does something so slick that, you know, I'm like, God had a, you know, just had a little shady side, you know, and I loved it about it. I love that. The more I'm learning and the more I'm growing and I'm studying, you see the humanistic side because you really see how he handled his adversaries, okay? Positioning them in spaces where they have to tell on themselves. They have to reveal themselves. This is a the space of being calm, cool, and collected. So the title of this particular episode today is going to be Contradictions of Grace. Right? Contradictions of Grace. So it amusing. So we're speaking about John 13, and in John 13, 5, he says, after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drawing them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then Lord Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Okay, Simon Peter, you're doing the most. Okay, he don't want to just, don't even just wash my feet, wash my whole body. Because baby, I'm with you. I'm with you. And I want you to know how much I'm with you. So clean me up, Lord. Clean me up. Clean me up. Okay, I am not mad at it. So then Jesus answered, a person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. Now, that first part, okay. Wash your whole body, okay? I want, don't take Jesus. You know he's talked in parables at time, okay? Don't be walking around here, Funk Master Flex, and you know you need to be, don't be missing the spots. Get in some water. Okay, but for purposes of the spiritual journey, purposes of the spiritual journey, we are discussing why Jesus is washing some feet and not the other. And I don't even like feet. Anyway. Okay. So, John 13 and 11 says, for he knew he was going to betray him. So let's go back to 10. He says, a person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him. And that was why he said not everyone was clean. Verse 12 says, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightfully so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I've done for you. I tell you the truth. No servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. So he's given instruction on how they need to proceed and what it is they're needing to do to ensure cleanliness amongst the tribe of those who are with Jesus. Even though the whole time Jesus already knows who is going to betray him. Now, keep in mind the grace that Jesus is extending at this time. So instead of him actually saying who's going to do it, instead of him confronting who's going to do it, he is gracefully continuing with the instruction or living as the example, exuding as the example. He is going to expect these that are with him to follow. It's a very strategic reveal. So then he says, and then he reminds them, you might not understand now. He tells Simon Peter, you may not understand why I'm doing this, but later you will. Because remember, the whole time he already knows you are going to go against the grain. You're going to go against me. And I already noticed you don't even know that you're going to do this, but I already know you are. And therefore, I'm not going to waste any water on you. I'm not going to waste my time trying to clean you, because I'm going to position you to reveal yourself to me. So in 13:18, Jesus says, I am not referring to all of you. I know those I have chosen, but this is to fulfill the scripture. He who shares my bread has lifted up his heel against me. I am telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am he. I tell you the truth. Whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me. After he said this, Jesus had troubled in his spirit and testified, I tell you the truth. Something in Jesus was like, I'm not settled. I don't feel settled. I'm assuming the feeling of the betrayal, of knowing that this is going to happen, was just a lot for him to hold on to and act as though wasn't real. So he says, I tell you the truth. One of you is going to betray me. His disciples stared at one another at a loss to know which of them he meant. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, ask him which one he means. So Simon Peter is attempting to chastise Jesus's sidekick, or presumed sidekick, the one who's chilling. He know he with Jesus. You know what I'm saying? He already knows. So he has no fear. He has no guilty conscience about it. He chilling because he already understands it ain't him. Like, I don't know which one of it it is. I don't know which one of you it is, but it ain't me. So we good, right? So Simon Peter, boasty, you know, you got this whole aura about you, Simon Peter, because he ain't washing your feet, head, and arms, and knowing you done did something, right? You about to do something. You got this energy about you that's unsettling to God, and he knows this. Jesus knows this. So when, let me get back. Ask him, leaning back. Okay, so then it gets to 13 and 25. Leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, it's the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish. Then dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, which is the son of Simon. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered him. Let me read that to y'all again. Jesus answered, it is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it into the dish. Then, dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, son of Simon. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. Satan was the angel, also disguised and used as the adversary. Satan was with God at first, right? So Satan births a child. Well, no, Satan doesn't birth a child. Judas is the son of Simon. And because he took the bread, he now is embodying Satan. Whew. What you are about to do, do quickly, Jesus told him. But no one at the meal understood why Jesus said this to him. Since Judas has charge of the money, some thought Jesus was telling him to buy what was needed for the feast or to give something to the poor. As soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out and it was night. Jesus predicts that Peter is going to deny what Jesus already knows to be true. Right? So I'm going to skip to verse 33 where it says John 13 and 33. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Simon Peter asked him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus replied, where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later. Ooh, Jesus. Okay. Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I would lay down my life for you. Jesus answered, will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth. Before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. Let me tell y'all something. He knows. He knows. There is nothing you can do. There is nothing you can scheme your way out of. There is nothing that anyone has done against you that he doesn't know. He knows. He knows. And this energy, right? This whole arrogance, like, you know, do y'all know that feeling of having an unsettling feeling around you where you got people around you where something just ain't right? It's just it's this innate feeling that you have that something or someone that is in your energetic space is not right, or something is about to happen, or someone is going to do something. It's that is when you know God is really talking to you, because that is that same energy that God brings. Jesus already knew that Simon Peter, the very one who's want to be all up in his space, want to be the pick me, is the very one that is not going to be who he is presenting himself to be. Mind you, the whole time he's still putting up a front as if he doesn't know until he can't anymore. Jesus can't hold it no more. So he asked him, oh yeah, you really gonna lay your life down for me? You don't believe now. Jesus telling him, you don't believe now. Oh, but you will. You don't follow me now. Oh, but you will. That's that. That's a different type of energy. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on now through. Come on through, Jesus. You know how that? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you don't believe me now. Uh-huh. Oh, you don't think I'm real now. Oh, yeah. You don't think I got the power now, but you will. Oh, you believe. What Dion say? You believe now? Do you believe now? I heard everything you were saying. I saw what you wrote. Do you believe now? You don't believe? Come on through. Come on through, baby. So that's where you understand that, oh yeah, Jesus has a clear indication of what's going on, right? He's not oblivious. He's not out of his mind. He's not just being deceived. He clearly understands, because he already has told us in Matthew that you're going to know them by their fruit. So if I know who I am, and I know what I'm made of, I'm going to know like-minded. I'm going to know that of which that mirrors me. And if I am telling you that I don't trust you and I don't believe that you are going to do the things you claim that you're going to do, it is because I do not recognize myself in you. I do not know you. I don't know you. We ain't kin. Baby. So that is where you're dealing with, okay, understanding the fact that Jesus knows. He can't be played with. He cannot be led astray from what he innately knows to be true. And understanding that nothing good can come from that is where people really got to get real with the choices that they're making. So that brings me to Job, because understanding that, okay, Jesus already knows what's going on. He already sees what's happening. He ain't in the blind like we are, or he's not in the blind of what he innately feels. He's attuned to that. He's sticking through to that. So when we go to Job, and we understand bringing that back to the frustrations of being around people, being around entities and spirits and spaces that really just conflict with who you know you are. Sometimes the reason God has to shake things up is because he has to protect you and he has to clear house. Ain't no room for people to be in your space that are not going to contribute to the success of you and the betterment of you. And they're not going to match the glory God has over your life. If they're not for you, God is removing them from your life. If they're not supposed to be in a certain space with you, they won't be. If God don't need your energy, if you have been sent on a mission to do something, open a door, bring awareness, enlightenment to whatever is happening around you. Once that duty is up, God is removing you from that because he ain't send you there for you to get comfortable. He sent you there to prove what he already knew. He already know the things that are happening. He already knows the corruption that's taking place. He already knows the deceit and deception that has been happening under your nose. He is not confused. He is not confused. He is not caught off guard. Baby, understand that he sees it. He got you. Everything. He's the Father's Son. God created everything under the earth, everything, destroyed it and created it again. So you can't tell me he didn't know. Jesus knows. Jesus knows because he is of his Father. Baby. Okay. So let's talk about Job. Let's get back to Job. Okay. So knowing that, understanding that God already has this innate intuition. He already feels this. He already got this up in him. So, and he letting you know, you don't believe now, but you will. You don't see me now, but you will. So then here you got Job. Sometimes Jesus have to slide his credentials across the table. Okay. He got to slide them credentials across the table and remind folk, don't play with him. Don't play with him. Okay. So here we are in Job. Job is contemplating the mystery of God, right? Because now he's frustrated. He was righteous. He's someone who has, you know, so much fear of God. He knows God is real. He trusts in God. He is not confused about who God is. He is not conflicted about it. He's stern on it. He's blessed man. He knows this, but he's been afflicted the hardest, but he's watching everybody who don't deserve all of the glory they get and all of the prosperity they get. He watching them grow and live happy lives and they're not being touched. Right. You know, that feeling where you feel like, God, why is this all this happening to me? And I'm such a good person. I'm such an avid believer in faith and I do good and I sow good seeds and I sit and I wait on you and I talk to you and I move when you tell me to. And I'm not perfect, but I actually believe in you and I don't question your authority. I talk to you. Why is it that I'm the hardest hit? But you got people that's under the sun, that's doing so much dirt, that's doing so much grimy stuff, that's playing with you, that's using corporations in your name in vain, God. They creating all of this calamity and they're claiming it's of God and they are blasphemous, but you blessing them. I don't understand it. Right? So this is Job. Job is like, listen, you know, he's so angry because he's now realizing, or he's having this thought about, like, wow, like, why is God, the God that judges people by their deeds, if God could just easily change or forgive their behavior, like, what good is it repenting if you're going to just forgive them? What good is it, you know, being so unjust when you're going to bless them anyway? Like, God is so omnipresent, and his ways are not our ways. So we don't understand why he's doing certain things in certain times. We don't understand it. And we, of course, sometimes we really don't agree with it. So in this moment of humanistic energy, Job is questioning this. He's frustrated. He's angry. But this is the thing. We cannot get anything by God. God already sees it all because he created it all. So there is nothing. And then he sent his son. So his son is in the midst of all this, right? God sits up high. Jesus is with the people, and he can sit. He's omnipresent, and he's in the midst. So you cannot, no one can fool Jesus. No one can fool Jesus. You can't fool him, and you can't get nothing by God. But we don't understand this in the moment of being afflicted. So Job is at this point where he's aggravated naturally, right? But he doesn't know himself well enough to defend himself to God. Like, you know you're a good person, but you can't really explain why. You can explain on the surface, but when you dig deep, you don't understand why innately you're a good person. You don't know how to explain the intricacies of your heart. You don't know how to explain the intricacies of what you feel. You don't understand how to articulate it in a language that God is going to understand, because God already knows more about you than you yourself have been able to comprehend. So we have no choice but to trust and believe that. We have no choice but to understand that. And so Job is upset, and he's frustrated, and he's desiring for someone who can mediate. Like, God, do you hear me? Do you see me? Am I actually fighting this by myself? Like, protect me. Why are you not covering me? Why are you not sitting here in the midst and stopping them from destroying me? Why are you watching this happen when I've been someone who believes in you? I've been someone who has followed your path, and I've been someone who has done nothing but right by you. Why am I suffering the way I am? Why are you punishing me? Is the energy that Job is bringing. And on a human level, it feels rightfully so, because he doesn't understand, and no one is there to put him in an energy of calmness, because no one can explain it to him. To everyone on the outside, it looks real crazy. It looks real crazy. It looks like, why are you still believing in something that obviously does not care how you are feeling or coping with whatever it is that you're dealing with? What is it? What is wrong with you is the question. It's not what's wrong with God or why God isn't doing it. It is what is wrong with you. And then in Psalm 26, he says, "Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have led a blameless life. I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Test me, O Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind, for your love is ever before me. And I walk continually in your truth. I do not sit with deceitful men, nor do I consort with hypocrites. I abhor the assembly of evildoers and refuse to sit with the wicked." David at this point is telling God, like, I've given all this up. Like, I've walked faithfully with you, and I am under the most affliction, the temptation, the anger, the destruction. I am in the midst of it. Where are you? And so finally, you know, after Job is going through this whole, you know, feeling of frustration. Okay. He's going through this frustration. He's questioning, he's asking for there to be a mediator between himself and God, or he wants to be sent to Sheol, which translates to the dark space of the dead. So if I can't have some help, just kill me already. If I can't get out of this pain, let me go. Like, just I'm ready to go. You know, like, I can't stay here in this. I can't continue to deal with this. So Job believes that there is a witness or a redeemer in heaven who will testify for his integrity, according to Job 16 and 19 and Job 19 and 25, because the suffering is just too much. So now he's turning bitter, anxious, and scared because he feels like there is somebody who could step in. There is something that could actually step in and protect me and help me and heal me, but they won't. So now he is suffering with his own angst, and he's suffering between his own frustration because he doesn't quite understand the why nothing is keeping him from evading the evilness, right? So what he ultimately comes up with is understanding that he comes to this understanding that wisdom is concealed from humans, right? Like humans can't even, we don't have the wisdom that we think we do. We don't have the you know, the grace and the connection with God as we think we do. We don't know what we think we do. So therefore, you know, I'm just going to continue just fearing God and choosing to not see the evil. I'm going to walk through though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you know, that's the energy. So eventually though, God shows up. And this is why I say God sometimes have to slide his credentials across the table. Okay. Because in this point, when God's showing up in Job, he's showing up and he's talking to Job, but he is putting his foot down with Job, commanding him to be brave, commanding him to stand up, and breaking down what he's created. How dare you fear? Have I not created this? Have I not done this? Like running down his credentials for Job. And then he furthermore goes by and runs down his credentials for the friends. Let me remind y'all of who I am. You give an advice that's ill informed. Okay. And God is frustrated with the fact that you have come this far and you just still have this energy of fear. You've allowed them to talk to you and infiltrate your space in a way where you're starting to question why you matter, why you exist, why you're necessary. So God isn't mad because Job has betrayed him, because Job has not betrayed him. God knows that Job is still righteous because Job is very righteous. But he's upset and he's frustrated and rather go. He'd rather his life be taken than go against God. But he also realized he's losing everything and he's lost everything and nothing is coming to save him. So he's questioning why he has decided to believe in something that ultimately is out of his reach to even understand. But he still does not go against what he innately feels is right, faith. Okay. So once God shows up, God running down his credentials, reminding him of who he is, what he created, what he has done, what he has destroyed. And then he talks to the friends. So you tell me, since you know so much, so since you got so much advice, so since you got all of the answers, tell me, run this by me and tell me how you came up with this. Tell me who did this, who created this, who had the power to speak this and it happened. Who? Tell me, since you know better than me. And of course, they didn't. So God is upset because not even the friends, it wasn't that they were going against God. They were going against seeing their friends suffering. You're suffering. You are losing everything. You sick, you ailing. There's nothing here. You keep talking about what you believe. And I can envision the frustration of a friend watching or a loved one watching, the one that they care about so much, just dwindling away and still saying, God gonna provide. You know, I understand how ludicrous it can look and it can sound, but you have to hold that faith, right? Even if the process doesn't look exactly like you believe it should. So then when God is talking and Job ultimately recognizes God's power and accepts the restraints of his human understanding, that just lets him know I'm still human. I'm not you. I'm not you, God. And I accept that. I accept that. So with that understanding, God is pleased with the humbleness. God is pleased because this is a righteous man. So God has that grace. Right. The grace. Yeah. You forgot who I was for a minute. Yeah. You forgot who I saw you as for a moment. But I'm going to extend that grace to you because I still believe you righteous. I know you righteous. It ain't even a belief. I know you righteous and I know you a good man. So because God is happy with Job's response, he's still upset with the friends, though, because they gave lousy advice. But God gives Job the opportunity to save his friends, because God ain't gonna just spare you. Sometimes, how many of y'all know that sometimes God sends an advocate on your behalf? Sometimes there has to be someone else in the room, or someone who's willing to go in the room, or someone who's willing to go into the spaces others ain't willing to go to speak on your behalf to bring you out of something. Even though you know that you could teeter on either side, but God allows someone to speak on your behalf in a way that rescues you from the fire you could inevitably deserve. Sometimes you really do deserve it. But God believes in you so much, and he has so much love for the person he sends, he lets them make that decision. That's the power of God. That's the power that God has, and the power that we have once we are connected with him. So because Job, being the righteous person he is, he loves his friends. He loves them, and he understood their human frustrations as well. But he also saw the value in having people that genuinely cared about him. They didn't care about what he believing in. They want him to be okay. They don't have the answers. They don't know what to say. They don't have everything figured out, but they want him to be okay. So they're speaking life. They're thinking they're speaking life into him, but they're also making him question what God is telling him. Inevitably, is it true? If you know who I am and you know what I created and you know what I'll do, why are you allowing people to get in your head? Why are you allowing people to distort the vision? Why are you listening to folk when you need to be listening and holding on to me? So That is the biggest lesson of it all. It's like God definitely comes to the rescue, but sometimes he assigns someone to that path to be the one that rescues you. So understand this, that throughout all of the frustration, the conflict, the irritation, the moments of not feeling like you have, you know, everything you need, you're questioning, you're going through a lot, you're dealing with a lot. You are having to really fight your higher self versus your flesh because you are being afflicted. And that's all a part of the human nature. Please do not think that you're supposed to be walking around as if you are Jesus and God. You ain't. No one expecting you to not cry. No one is expecting you to not say it hurt. No one's expecting you to not be in this aura, in this energy of, I don't understand why. And I have said it myself. I have said, God, why would you take the good people and leave these heathens around? But when you understand that God has a purpose for it all, because ultimately he has to get the glory. And when he rises you up, he'll give you that power to be able to speak life or get them out of here into whatever situation. That's the power. That's the connection. That's the relationship that you got with God. So don't ever question your why to the point of where you are sabotaging the gifts that God has given you and the power he's already given you. Everything is going to work out because of who you are connected to. God ain't making no mistakes, and he's not coming at this sideways, and he's not unprepared. I think that's the biggest lesson of it all. God knows. He already knows what happened. He saw it. He good. Are you good? Because he ain't going to let nothing happen to you. Just like he told Satan, do not touch him. Do not kill him. Don't. Do whatever it is you need to do. But you better not take his life. Why? Because God knows in everything. Jesus is going to turn it all around and replenish you. And in every time we see where he has Job suffering and going through this because Satan tested him. You challenging God? Let me show you, Satan, what I can do. Let me show you how much faith I have in my chosen ones. Let me show you. And that's exactly what God did. And you know the power God had, because Satan had to ask for permission to even go close to him. So this is where you have to look at your story. Look at your story and realize, baby, you good. You so covered. You don't even know. God saw it. He saw what they did. He heard them. He know what they said. He know what they think they did. They think they won. They didn't. They think they got away. They didn't. It's a lesson in it all. And when you understand that, you move different. You coming out of this stronger than you ever went in. Believe that. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Not because the weapons ain't powerful, but because the weapon is formed and going against you. And if you covered by God and you protected and you are equipped and armored with him, baby, they don't stand a chance. Let them say what they want to say. Let them do what they want to do. Ain't a thing they can do to destroy you because God has already instructed the enemy. You better not touch her. Touch not my anointed. So all the people who like to think, oh, God was just so passive. And baby, I don't know what God they serve. I don't know what Jesus they know. But the ones I know, the Jesus I know and the God I know, baby, they got a wrath. And they have no problem unleashing it very strategically and sometimes abrupt. Understanding that gives you a different type of confidence. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and get into our prayer and then our daily devotion and close out this episode. Thank you guys so much for your love. Thank you for your support. Thank you for sticking through, y'all. We almost at day 30. And this has been a masterful time. For real. This has been an incredible, incredible time. Okay. So let's get into our prayer. God, thank you so much for your love. Thank you for your support. Thank you for clearing the path for us in a way that only you can. Thank you for showing up just right when we need you, God. And thank you for your ability to nurture us back into your discipline. We're safe with you. We know that. We're covered by your grace and your mercy. We know that. Sometimes we just need to hear from you. So thank you for reminding us of the power you have. And thank you for the power you've instilled in us to get through whatever it is that we are facing and striving to grow through. We thank you for it now, Father. We thank you for it now because there is no weapon that has formed, that has prospered, because you have been our shield. You have been our protector. You have been everything we've needed in the midst of the storm. And we thank you for it now, Father. Thank you for the renewals. Thank you for the replenishment. Thank you for the covering. Thank you for the overflow we weren't prepared to receive. God, we thank you for the opportunity. In your name, Jesus, we give you all the glory, honor, and the praise. Amen. I'm reading from the Moments of Peace in the Presence of God, Morning and Evening Meditations Devotional, and it is titled, Humbly Accepting His Teaching. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go, Psalm 32:8. I pay careful attention as you lead me, and I follow closely. As soon as you command, I do what you say, Psalm 119:59-60. It is truly marvelous when God answers your prayers and fulfills the promises you've waited so long for. Though you know that everything is possible with God, his work is transformed from an intellectual fact to a deep peace within you. Faith fills your heart. God is teaching you. You realize that he was guiding you when the path seemed strange. He was working when you couldn't see his hand. God teaches you as much when he feels his promise as while you're waiting. This morning, accept his direction. When you look back, you'll see how he adjusted your path and how today's obedience was integral to tomorrow's blessings. Dear God, I look forward to following your instruction today. Thank you for guiding me in the way I should go. Amen. The evening says, blessings ahead. Lord, you are my portion and my cup of blessing. You hold my future, Psalm 16:5. I will always look to you as you stand beside me and protect me from fear, Psalm 16:8. Caught in traffic and feeling the anxiety of the things you have to accomplish today. The only thing ahead seems to be the unblinking red lights of your car in front of you. You're stopped, stuck with responsibilities behind you and more before you. Friend, this situation is frustrating because you cannot see any relief or reward in the future. But don't make the mistake of thinking that things will never change. God is going to bless your hard work and faithfulness. Go to God for comfort and draw your strength from him. Be patient and keep watch. Soon enough, the light will turn green on all your blessings. Green light. God, thank you for holding my future and planning wonderful blessings ahead. Even though I cannot see them, I trust that you'll provide them. Amen. Yes, yes, yes. I love you guys. I love you guys. I love you guys. Thank you so much for all of your support. Thank you for being disciplined. Thank you for your commitment to seeing this through. I am so proud of you. Please know that even in the midst of affliction, you are covered, protected, and divinely ordered by God. There is nothing, 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 nothing that can come in your way. I believe that. Okay. So until our next episode, please be gentle with yourself. Please be gentle with others and know that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Believe it and carry it with your heart. Until our next episode. Bye.